This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. We're going to get a tour of Rich and Linda's place. Let me show you what that looks like. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. Love that. 59 Auto Repair in Plainfield, Illinois. Glad to have you all here. We thank Dorman so much for their sponsorship. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. I think it's time to bring on Linda and Rich. We're going to talk some business right now. And, you know, it's easy. You know, you've been in business how long?
This company, 16 years. The one before that, 12. So 28 years.
Been in business a long time. And sometimes it's easy to get stagnant, isn't it?
Sometimes. Yeah, it definitely is.
Too many people go and say, well, I've always done it like that, so don't bother me, I'm not changing.
Kind of one of the things, you know, we decided early on in our career was that we're not allowed to say that's not how we do, or that's how we've done it always in the past. Because unfortunately, we get kind of stuck in that. So once that was said to me that I wasn't allowed to say that, we've kind of agreed that I could say that that's because it's the best way I know how, but we need to be open to ideas. And it kind of changed my whole perspective on it. I've been doing it. I've been in this industry since 1982 for quite a few years. And yeah, it seemed like we were just in a rut. We were kind of always doing things the same way and not changing with the times. And back about 13, 14 years ago, we changed that saying that I wasn't allowed to say that. And it's definitely changed our business a lot since then, just being open to new ideas and talking it through. And are we doing it the best way, or is there a better way to do it? Which things have changed a lot in our industry in the last 20 years.
So. Linda, I have to ask you, take me back to the day. Now, I don't know if it was you that pushed Rich or Rich pushed you, or there was a coach that said, we got to stop saying that. But, you know, that's a monumental, huge move that many years ago, Rich, you're still talking about it. How did it happen?
Working with your spouse is a challenge. I have an accounting background, not an automotive background. I would look at processes and not understand why we were doing exactly that way. And the answer I heard over and over was because that's how we've always done it. My belief is we should be as efficient as possible if we're going to run well. So the answer should always be because it's the best way to do it. It was better for our relationship as a husband and wife to get rid of that because that's how we've always done it, because it was very frustrating for me.
Well, you know, Rich, it sounds like you put your trust in Linda. Probably said, okay, you're smarter than me. Great. You want us to do processes. Fine. I'll stop doing all that stuff. But Linda, you had to prove to Rich that you kind of were right.
It's not so much about being right. It's what makes the shop run best. Sometimes we tried processes and maybe they weren't the best. And then you go back and you keep working on it until you can say, this is the best way that we know to do it. We've also done coaching. We've been with Automotive Training Institute for the last 4 years, and they've helped a lot. Sometimes just having that second perspective can make you better.
I think it's monumental. We recently did a show with Darren and Ginger Barney, and they talked about the husband and wife thing. I love doing interviews with husbands and wives. The dynamics are interesting. There's so much we can learn as an industry. Your partners in life, your partners in business, And there has to be that push-pull relationship that makes the business grow. And that's really what you're talking about, Rich. You know, I wasn't 100% right to say, well, prove it to me, Linda. But the fact of the matter is you got out of your own way, Rich, right?
You know, I'm a mechanic by trade, and that's the way my brain thinks, is that it's fix cars, fix cars, fix cars, and that's how we fix everything. You know, so that was kind of hard to get out of that, because I think as a mechanic, the more cars you fix and the better you fix them, the better your shop is. And that's not necessarily true. Where Linda came in, was able to give fresh eyes, and she's more on the customer side of it. So she was more, why are you doing this way? Because the customer doesn't understand. You know, I can't just tell a customer, well, your engine's broke. I need to explain to them sometimes why, or, you know, they don't understand that. And same thing with, you know, just how we did everything up front as far as greeting the customer, taking them in, making sure that when a customer calls, I'm not at the shop right now. And if I walked into the shop and a customer called and I picked up the phone without talking to a customer, probably within 30 seconds without talking to a customer, I can tell you exactly what's going on with the car. If it's completed, if it's in process, if parts have been ordered, what's been sold, if it's the inspection process, does a technician have it yet? If the technician does, who has it? So all these processes have helped tremendously. And it was more looking at it from an outside view and a non-mechanics view that changed the way we do so much. And it has helped, I mean, tremendously. We're a lot more efficient. We're a lot more profitable. Just everything runs smoother. I mean, it's stressful to have to say, well, you got to wait till Dave gets back from lunch because I have no idea what's going on with your car. I never want to say that.
And there's a process that helps you understand that. I mean, Linda, having come from the accounting side of business, process has to happen when it comes to good financial statements. The processes have to be there. So it sounds like it was a wonderful thing that you both got together. How much technology have you guys put together to make all these processes work?
Well, we definitely embraced electronic inspections when they first came out. They're huge. Building customer trust. I can try to, with my words, explain to you what's wrong with your vehicle. But if I can send you a video and show you, the impact is phenomenal. And the trust factor, you know, our industry has not always had the best rapport with its customers or trust. There's been trust issues. So if I can, with pictures and video, show you this is what's not working, just takes our industry to a different level. And the electronic inspections has helped, I think, elevate our shop and set us apart from other shops.
Hey, just embracing technology. We did a great episode with Roy Foster and his three apprentices, and he made an incredible mention that the young people know tablets, know technology, know how to take pictures. They can walk themselves around all this new technology, and it so helped the business. It's not like a boomer doesn't accept what a tablet is and does and how it works. We didn't grow up with one of those in our hands, and our younger people did. So I think it's great that you guys have embraced technology. But what about your people? Is there any difference the way than you must deal with people in today's world?
The younger people, it's a lot different in the shop environment and everything else. We got a little bit of mix of both. Most of us are fairly seniored in our industry. And then we do have a couple young guys. And we have had a female technician, you know, that we had for 4 years. Just the way we have to do things is a lot different with them. It's been an interesting change for us to learn how to be a little bit more sensitive and a little bit just the way we deal with them, trying to treat them a little differently. So we've adjusted well and learned that. And, you know, we seem to be getting along great. And so that's it's been a learning habit, but we're doing really good at it, I believe. So,
no doubt, Linda, you could go on for an hour on that, how to embrace our technology and embrace our youth.
We have an active mentoring program. You know, we all hear about this technician shortage in our industry. We believe it's our job to help solve that problem. So we've joined the NAPA mentoring program. Our newest oil change technician is just starting. We're hoping he gets all the way through that 2-year period. But if we embrace those young people and show them, well, for one, how to do it right from the beginning, aren't we going to be a better industry at the end?
I'm a soapbox guy who will get up and talk about mentoring and apprenticing all the time. I'm happy that you guys have looked at that as a way to grow your own. I mean, build your own rock stars, right? Don't wait for them to come in, because one day you'll just sit back and smile as everybody continues to struggle to find their next best people. You can grow them.
Absolutely agree with that.
And these younger people seem to adapt and learn the new technology a lot quicker than us older people. So, you know, they grew up with computers and know how to do that. My daughter, who knows nothing about cars, has helped me get on to, you know, they had a problem programming Chrysler's and couldn't download the file. And she got in there and was able to download the file so I could do my part of the job. So it's kind of funny that, you know, it's how much quicker and better they are at computer stuff than we are.
You've got your daughter and I have mine, and boy, she has done some great things to take dad into the next century with technology. Not that I didn't love technology, but I have to admire her, and I have to say, well, I can do that. So she's got that speed and embracement of technology. Well, look, guys, it was great having you here. One final question, and I know you guys wanted to talk about the impact of social media on our business.
Yeah, social media has changed our industry a lot on just the way we run our businesses and do our businesses. I'm to the point of I enrolled my daughters in a social media class where twice a month they meet for 2 hours and twice a year they meet for 2 days. And all they do is learn about social media and how to keep it relevant. You know, I never thought I would have a Pinterest account and a Twitter account and, you know, Instagram account. You know, I'm not going to go to Instagram to look for auto repair, but that all makes us relevant and, you know, more important. You know, I mean, the whole thing with reviews and stuff. So, yeah, it's a full-time, I wouldn't say a full-time job, but, you know, they probably spend 15 hours a week that they spend working on social media to try to keep our shop relevant and up in the rankings and make sure everything's, you know, doing good. Because I think that's our future as far as advertising. The yellow book is gone and all that print, you know, is kind of going away. So things are changing quick.
Putting yourself out there. Linda, you're behind that?
Absolutely am. I think the more transparent we are, the better for our industry, the better for our customers. You know, we need to be in partnership with those customers, not telling them, hey, this is what you need. We need to educate them. We need to show them this is the benefit to you. So social media allows us to help do that.
Does it help build community?
Oh, absolutely. We are very active giving back to our community. Without the people in our community, we wouldn't make a living. You know, we do work for the food pantry, for the Guardian Angel Community Service, Plainfield Rotary, Plainfield Lions. We do a lot of community events. The Operation Welcome You Home is a way we reach out to veterans. But I think it's a responsibility we have to share and give back and say thank you to the people that helped us build what we have.
In many cases and in many shops, it's one thing that I think is lacking, and that is, yeah, someone may come in as a sponsor of the ball team, you know, and that's one thing. But doing it above and beyond that, Linda, is what looks like you and Rich are doing. So, hey, thanks so much for talking a little business with me. We want to take a look inside your shop right after we talk about some really great new listens that went on this week. As I was talking to you about Roy Foster, one shop and three apprentices, you may even know Roy, Rich. I'm not even sure. He's got two sons and one non-son going through an apprentice program. It's a great episode. So much to learn. It's time to revamp our industry training. Town Hall Academy with Jim Kokonis, Justin Morgan, and Anthony Williams. Matt Fonslow, what does a great steak restaurant and auto repair have in common? You'll love how Matt connects that. And of course, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demers came out this week. It was a great week. A lot of great shows. And now it's time to check out our great virtual tour, 59 Auto Repair. I love this. Beautiful. Wow. Did you guys build that from scratch, that brick building?
We weren't the ones who built it. There was an owner in there before us, but it's a 10-bay shop. We do have a parking lot on both sides, so we can park 63 cars in our parking lot. So this is our lobby area. This is kind of where you come in and, you know, you're greeted and basically checked in. The digital menu board is that TV there. It's not turned on. I think Marissa did this after hours. That's kind of where Marissa sits. And Nikki, our new service advisor, that's our waiting area. nothing too fancy, but space was kind of limited, so we did what we could with it.
I don't know about you, but that looks fancy to me. I mean, it's very inviting, very now looking. There's the beverage center. Wow.
On the other side of the wall here is where Dave and Jim, our other two service advisors.
Does he watch movies on that big screen?
They are big enough. So instead of having two screens, we can actually split our screen so they can have their two programs pulled up on a single screen. So yeah, they're wide. They're big. But and then this is the entry to the shop. We've got a couple computers for our technicians on this end of the shop. There is also one on the other end where they can access all their all data and stuff. Napa cabinet, we just, well, actually this the is our part shelf where all the parts come in. The technicians all have their own spot so we can put their initials at the end of the repair order. That way they all know exactly where their parts and that they are theirs. Alignment rack, just with the space constraints, we have our alignment machine is portable so we can move it up in front and that way we're not in the other guy's way. This is one of our new scan tools. Actually, we bought a Snap-on Zeus, so it's a scope and scan tool. We have top of the line Autel. We have a bunch of stuff. I mean, we've got Pico scopes. We got four or five other Snap-on scan tools. Like I said, a couple Autels. So,
Rich, do you have a specific technician that does all your diagnostic work?
There's three of us that do the diagnostic work. And then we're training our younger guys. But myself, Jeff, and Mike are all the diagnostic techs. So I got three A-techs in the shop. So it's kind of nice. This is just some of our storage area with our... We don't stock as much as we used to. This is mostly oil products that we have here, waste oil, you know, our bulk tanks, our synthetic tanks. So
I have a question about belts. Do you actually use a lot of belts off the wall?
Not as much as we used to. So pretty much, you know, when we sell the job, we reorder, but it's nice having them. So like I said, we're starting to stock less and less just with Napa and Advance really close to us. We kind of don't need to stock as much as we used to. So
it's a beautiful, bright place. Did you air condition it?
No. The bay doors are not very well insulated, so kind of hard to keep it heated, a little less, you know, air conditioned. We actually have a waste oil furnace, and then we have 8 radiant heaters in the shop. So, you know, this time of the year, you can have pretty much everything going. So summertime, you know, we talked about going to insulated doors and air conditioning because it would be nice. We painted the walls probably about 6 years ago, which helped a lot. Painting them white on the top and then the Napa blue on the bottom.
I see. It looks like we're going up to, oh, look at that.
Yeah, a little break room. It's actually, we got a new table. It doesn't have a hole in it anymore. But yeah, we're going to redo the upstairs here. We've been trying to get rid of some of this inventory and that to make a more clean break room that we can heat and air conditioning. We just changed the furnace and air conditioner for the lobby and that, and made it big enough to air condition and heat the upstairs too. So
Rich and Linda, we're planning on doing this with us in October. And this way Rich says, oh, look at that. We've changed the table. And you know, this video has been in the can for a bunch of months. Obviously things happen and things change and things move forward. You guys had COVID, a pretty bad case of it. So We thank you so much for letting us put this video in the can and take it out now to show everyone.
We've had a phenomenal year of recognition with being the Napa Shop of the Year. It was great to be able to recognize our people for their contribution, making our business the wonderful place it is.
That is a huge, huge recognition as the Napa Shop of the Year. And I'm sure I'll see you at the Napa Expo, right?
Yes, we'll be
definitely
there.
All right, everybody. Hey, thank you so much. Aftermarket Weekly, number 95. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.